tuned into Tampa Bay's RBLR Sports.
Hi, hello, how are you doing? This is at RBLR Sun FC. I'm so sorry. I forgot you were going to come in with the cat again. All right, so if you're not watching on YouTube, which you definitely should be, you would see Fafo right now, the official RBLR Sun cat, just front and center, playing with, what did we see? A piece of cardboard on wire?
Yeah.
Yes, he's the greatest cat toy to ever exist, according to Fafo.
It doesn't have to be complicated, guys. Nah. Good cat toys, like good football, can be straightforward sometimes. There you go. You can hold on to that. I got a show to do. Okay. Hello, Liz. How are you today?
I'm good. How are you?
We're going to the championship game, Liz.
I have heard it's never been better to be a Sun fan.
It's always good. It is always so, so good to be a Sun fan. But right now, it's so good. It's fantastic.
We're hosting the championship.
Hosting.
Sorry,
hosting.
Oh, poor Fafo.
Saturday night, we knew we were going. We took care of business against Dallas.
Yep. Yes.
The hated villain, Amber Brooks, and her cohorts. We slew them. Mm-hmm. Sunday night, we got some great news in the mail. Those idiots from down south got the upset over Carolina.
Did us a solid.
Yep.
For once.
The one time I've ever rooted for a Fort Lauderdale soccer team in my life, and they came through for me. And I think that says less about how good they are and more about how good we are as fans.
Okay. I think it says more about how bad Carolina was that night, but okay.
Yeah, we'll talk about that game too. Our game and that game, only two games this week, obviously, semifinals. But yeah, Carolina did not particularly look like they wanted to win quite as bad as we did, or Fort Lauderdale did, or even Dallas did. I think the number one seed Carolina sent probably looked like the fourth worst team out of those four this past weekend.
A little bit, to the point where I wouldn't. Well. Even if they had won by like a smidge, like if they like say it was flipped, say the call, whatever it was, say it was on the other side, and we're just gonna get into it now, whatever. Even if it was flipped and they had only won by like that smidgel, I still wouldn't be that worried.
Yeah, there wasn't much to it. I mean, we're gonna really upset a couple of burner accounts on Twitter by saying this, but both goals by Kira Locklear to win the game for Fort Lauderdale, clean, solid.
Amazingly enough, the ref who's had it right in front of him was able to see it.
Yeah, he can see a lot
much better
than
you can on your grainy TV. I'm sorry.
Your TV and that's not a
knock on your TV. That's a knock on the Super League for not having high def cameras.
It's a knock on Peacock, the Super League. It's a knock on the National Broadcasting Corporation. If you've enjoyed this rant that we've had, this excited rant, I recommend. You're a little late. I'm going to say that right now. You're a little late. The season's just about over. But if you are just now tuning into our show, like and subscribe. Hit those buttons down below. Twitter, Facebook, probably not. YouTube, MySpace, Threads.
YouTube and Blueskis.
Blueski. Discord. Hit me up on the Discord. I'm in there all the time.
Yeah.
It's a problem. But yeah.
To the point where it's easier to get you on Discord than it is via text for some godforsaken reason.
Text messages are only on my phone. Discord is on my phone and the computer.
Yeah.
Just makes sense. Do the math.
Math. Okay.
Yep. I love math. Call me Chris Henderson the way I love math. Coming in hot.
Hot takes. RBLR After Dark.
That's what we're doing. It's a little late, all right? But that's okay, because it's a good week. We're excited. We got some good stuff to talk about. Good game that just happened. Fully confident, a good game that's about to happen this weekend. The stands are going to be rocking. The field's going to be rocking.
Speaking of, if you haven't bought a ticket, go buy it, like, now. Like, literally now, because the supporter section is literally sold out.
Yeah, they just released Tuesday night at like 9, 10 o'clock, like 30 more tickets in the supporter section.
Oh, did they?
Yes. Because they emailed you, Liz, and you told them to do it.
Oh, okay. They reposted them. There's 30 available. Okay, yeah. I missed the follow-up to that. So you can still get supporter tickets as of 10 p.m. on Tuesday night when we're recording this. Sorry for breaking the fourth wall or something. I don't know.
Well, yeah, right.
I don't know. We're already breaking the fourth wall. We're talking to people. Whatever. That wasn't the right thing at all. But you get what I'm trying to say. If you haven't bought a ticket, go buy one now. Like, do not wait. Like, these, I actually think this might sell out. I think it's gonna sell out. It's a lot faster than I thought it would. That's what it is.
It's gonna be a real sell. Like, the home opener was a sellout, I think. The semifinal game last week.
It was like right up to the day though.
Yeah.
The home opener even. I feel like this is gonna sell out faster.
Oh yeah. This is gonna be only a 5,000 seater at Big Jim Stadium at Fort Blake. It is
a 5,000 seat exclusive.
Yeah.
You have to get your ticket.
If you don't get your ticket beforehand, they might be turning people away. It's like that. Tampa Bay is showing up for our team right now. Yeah. If there's nothing Tampa Bay loves more than cigars, it's trophies. We have a chance to win one this weekend.
Accurate.
This is
people who are literally showing up to their first game because of the possibility of a trophy.
multiple people. I know six people just off the top of my head in my own orbit that are showing up for their first game because there might be a trophy lifted. We are glory hunters in Tampa, and I mean that in the best way.
Yeah, honestly.
Because we're finding the glory in a lot of places. Tampa Bay, we're bringing it home.
Bruh, if we win this and they don't start putting us on those Tampa Bay tacky as shit t-shirts, I'm going to riot.
Yes.
I want a tacky t-shirt.
The Tampa City of Champions with the storm
and the silhouettes and shit. Yeah.
They claim the Yankees even because they spring training Tampa. Us on there. It's
not even the Yankees anymore. They're the fucking tarpons, or something like that.
They claim the New York Yankees because they come down here in the spring. Yeah. Well, boom. Hey. You've been to Clearwater. You see how they are with the Phillies, too. They love the Phillies in Clearwater.
Yeah.
Tough stuff for the Rays fans. Shout out to the RBLR Rays podcast. Some of the brightest minds in the business. All right. Liz, where do you want to start? You want to start with the recap? You want to start with some of the league news that's come out already?
Let's start with the league news.
Yeah, I think that's fair because last week, we talked a little bit about the Players Association Best 11, right? And we had a couple of players on that. I think we had three. I think Flew Flint Sydney on that, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then I think like Henny got like an honorable mention or something.
Yeah, yeah. They don't, because they don't do a second team for the Players Association. But they do some shout-outs.
Yeah.
The All-League coming down from corporate, coming down from Tampa. You know, the main office, they would like to see us run a 3-4-3. The forwards being Mia Corbin from Carolina. Great shout. Our girl, Tash Flint, in the middle. And Dallas's Ellie Thornton on the right side. Flint, 9 goals, 2 assists on the season, 49 shots. She won 86 duels as a forward, which means she likes to press and get that ball back. And 17 tackles. She's a forward. She's a goal scorer. She's a feeder. But she will do that dirty work as well. And she's shown that time and time again. So really proud of her for getting that. I think her play has earned that.
She's in this, even in this last match, she's gotten a little bit into that Sid Nicello. My role is soccer player.
Yeah. Yeah. We have 5 midfielders who play wherever. And then we also have 2 attackers who are apparently midfielders when they want to be midfielders too.
Yeah. Yeah. When they want more touches on the ball, they go into the midfield.
Yeah, anybody can do whatever they want. That's how much we trust everyone. Okay. Yeah. Liz, you want to go through the midfield of the All-League First Team real quick?
Sure. So on the left, we have Nocello, and she had 4 goals, 3 assists, 29 chances created, 37 interceptions, which shows you how smooth she is on the ball, and 187 recoveries, which is insane.
I'm not sure 100% what a recovery is.
I don't know, but that's a lot of something. Damn.
I get it. I believe she recovered 187 times.
Yeah, she went and got the ball back after like it was taken or something. I don't know, man. But either way, I believe she did it because she could just dribble the ball forever up and down the field. And the only way to do it is just a slide tackle her.
Yeah.
Sorry. So after that was Addie McCain.
The other player.
I was just like, yeah, Sid Nocello. That's it. That's all you need. Yeah.
And in the midfield.
What else do you need in the midfield?
Well, there were 3 others. Go ahead.
Yeah. Okay. So Addie McCain, Amina Ekic, of course, and Amber Brooks.
Boo. She earned it. Yeah.
Yeah. Whatever.
If I hate you that much, you're probably pretty good at this.
Yeah.
And then in the defense for the first team, Jill Aguilera, Carolina, scored the first ever goal. Great player. Susanna Fitch. Out of DC. Great to see DC get a little representation on there. Fitch was solid. And Sydney Studer out of Carolina as well.
And then goalkeeper to absolutely no one's surprise is Hope Heisey.
Hope Heisey, yes.
Yeah.
The real Golden Glove winner of the USL Super League.
Megan McClelland, who didn't play in the Fort Lauderdale game.
Yeah. Exactly, because she had it's stat based. I don't come at me about stats. Okay, we're an eye test podcast. We're a vibes podcast. We're not really a stat.
We are podcast. Definitely a vibes podcast.
Yeah, and we also do want to talk about the All-League second team as well, because obviously we got a couple players in that as well. If you make the championship game, you better have a couple players in the first and second team. So the all-second team forward line is Cecilia Flew from the Tampa Bay Sun. A little interesting that she would make the Players Association best 11, but the league second team. She had 11 goals, 4 assists, led the team in points, led the Sun in goals, won 145 of her duels, had 43 shots, created 26 chances, shows her versatility dropping back. Like she did in this game against Dallas, shows her lethalness getting forward. Legitimately, I don't understand putting her on the second team. Besides, you know, you can't have 2 Sun players on the first team as forwards, I guess. The league's got to be diplomatic like that, I guess.
I think they should have been switched.
I think they should. Don't tell Tash we said this, but yes. I really think Flew's number.
And it's only because they're both so good.
Yeah. They both deserve to be
and only to be only just, you know, just to be fair to the rest of the league. Can't have too many Sun players on one team.
Right. And we love the way she plays, the way she draws players, her experience, the way she can settle things. She's got the resume. But if you look just at the numbers, which we don't love to do here, but we are going to do right now. 11 goals is more than 9. 4 assists is more than 2. We're not going to, you know, we're not super mad that Flint's on the first team, obviously. But it is interesting that Flew is a second teamer.
Yeah, I'd be interested to know, like, where, like, maybe either how far out they went on stats or something, or what specific stats they picked, if it was based on, like, position. I don't know. It's kind of odd. Yeah. We have no idea how they picked these.
Yeah, for the PA, the players picked it. We know how that worked. For the league, whose call was this? You know, it's not transparent. But the other forwards joining Flew, the second team has 4 total. It was Flew. It was Mackenzie George. Oh no, it was 3. I just read Mackenzie George's 2 names. It was Flew. It was Brooklyn's Mackenzie George, and Jasmine Hamid out of Fort Lauderdale. Good shouts.
Yeah. In the midfield, we had Chioma Ubagagu, which, by the way, if I'm saying her name wrong, I sincerely apologize. I have heard it about four different ways on the broadcast. Yep. I'm going with what I'm pretty sure I thought I heard when I watched MWSL. If I'm wrong, please let me know, and I'd love to fix it.
Somebody please. Chioma, hit us up.
Yeah. Shay Moyer, who was Lexington?
Lexington, yep. Easily okay. And then, their best player, I think.
Yeah, okay. And then Sam Kroger, who was also Lexington?
Brooklyn,
my bad. Okay, I get some of the other teams mixed up.
If you weren't watching Brooklyn when they were good, then you missed a lot. But they were only good for kind of a flash in the pan. Weird team. But she was super solid. Shay Moyer and Sam Kroger, both.
Yeah.
And then defensively for the second team, Penny Vaca for Fort Lauderdale. Really good player. Injured and will be injured during the championship game. Not something we have to worry about as Sun fans. But they did sign her sister, which really confused me when they did it because they didn't mention that. They just showed a picture of somebody.
Another jersey that says Vaca. And we're like, wait a minute. Like, you already did that.
Definitely
that already happened.
So, Tongan International, Leveni Vaca. Spokane's Sarah Clark, who was on the PA first team. Hannah Davison from Dallas, which if you're a Sun fan, you are obligated to agree with the way she's played against us. And locking down the defense for the USL Super League second team, our girl, Viv Bissett. She played all 28 matches for the Sun, has three assists out of it. Those long balls over the top, she's so good at. 25 chances created from a very pure defensive standpoint, which is really impressive considering DeCello had 29 as an attacking player. And then Bissett also with 111 clearances, Christ almighty, and 33 interceptions. On a three-back system, your defenders have got to be solid. We've had some things happen here and there with the wingbacks, but Bissett and Brooke Hendricks, I gotta honestly mention her here. Those two players for our defense have been so locked down constantly. Iron women. Brooke missed a couple games. She didn't play all 28 like Viv did because she got her face smashed, which I understand.
Because she gave her face in the line of duty.
Exactly. Yeah. we need to find a purple heart on eBay to give to her, honestly. can't say enough good things about our defense. When things were rough in the midfield, when things weren't sorted out, when we didn't have things figured out going attacking, our defense was always there for us. They say defense wins championships, and if it does happen this weekend, it's going to come down to our defensive players because they've been so important.
Yeah, and, for sure. And then we have in goalkeeper,
Leshnack Murphy.
Leshnack Murphy. I don't know why I was like, wait a minute. Nope. It just wasn't reading in my brain.
That's a weird word. Yeah, she is the Carolina goalie. Not Megan McClellan, despite what the Golden Glove may lead you to believe.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. Interesting there. That they have one goalie that wins the Golden Glove and one that makes the All-League second team. I get it. Murphy was fantastic. McClellan was great when she played, but like, I don't know, man. You can't do that. Shout out Hope Heisey. Let's just leave it at that.
Fair enough. All right. You want to go into the recap for Dallas?
Yeah, that was a fun game. Let's talk about it.
Sure. All right. So, for our starting 11, we had Flo and Flint up top.
Yep.
Right behind them for our attacking mids. I'm going to get this right. God damn it. I am.
Got it.
We had Nocello, Giamona, and Haugen. Right behind them are center mids. We had Moore and Listro. And then on defense, we had our usual Paige Hendricks Bissett with Orcus in goal due to Sydney Snyder still being injured from the
Vicious Assault by Lowe's.
Yeah, the Vicious Assault. Yeah.
The Reckless and Lawless Attack by the Ethiopian national teamer. I think that was the only, I think everyone would agree this is our best 10 for sure. We've had this sort of question mark at goalkeeper all season, and not to say that like, oh, we've had bad goalkeepers all season. The question mark is we've had good goalkeepers all season. Whoever's been there has done a great job. So you can't necessarily say Orkus is the best goalie. You can't say Schneider's the best goalie because they've both been fantastic. But when it's a mental game, almost more than a physical game when it comes to goalkeeping. And if Schneider wasn't quite ready physically, or she didn't think she was quite ready physically, if she made that call, that's her right to make. I don't want a goalie stepping in between the pipes who's not ready. And Orkus was ready this week in practice. And I'm glad she was out there. But we'll see what happens. If you watch the game, you know what happened, and you probably watched the game if you're listening. But
yeah.
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 Yeah. Yeah. She's an interesting goalie. She plays with a lot of emotion. I do think as someone who is affected by the nature of a game, the flow of a game, me personally, when I play goalie, I can see a lot of that in Ashley Orkus as well. When she's on her game, she's one of the best goalies in the country. When she's off, she's a little bit off. But it's not something I have to worry about very often, considering how good the team in front of her is. And when you have a good team in front of you, it gives you a lot of confidence. So she's usually super fantastic. And look, the fact of the matter is we get the 2-1 win here tonight. So
yeah. Yeah. honestly, both teams start pretty hard and fast. Just like you wrote in your notes. It's pretty evenly matched for like a good 15 minutes.
Yeah. It's chalk. It's the second best team and the third best team, where the second best team is looking to do what they're good at, get the ball to the wings and play it in. And the third best team, we're the second best team. We're looking to get the ball through the middle, on the stretch, create some chaos in the midfield, absorb pressure. Dallas looking to get the ball to the wings and serve it into their goal scorers. Both teams trying to make their game plan happen, trying to impose their wills. And it's a lot of back and forth for a long time. Not to say nothing interesting happens, but nothing really noteworthy happens for a while if you're watching the game again, because it's two strong teams trying to be the stronger team.
Yeah, honestly. And I think it's also just kind of both teams like kind of feeling out the vibe of the match.
Oh, yeah. What
game plan they are going to go with. I'm assuming Dallas might have a couple of different game plans, and whatever they're going to use against us, we have to kind of figure out, okay, if they're going to do this, then we got to do that kind of thing.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's a chess match. It always is, but especially when you get to a winner, your season's over type of game against, you know, a team that you've played competitive games against, that really good team. It's enthralling. You know what I mean? It's good.
Yeah. Unfortunately, in the 17th minute, there is just a really sucky Dallas goal. The ball just must bounce in a way that Orkus did not expect, because it just chips past her, honestly. And it just gets right past her.
Yeah. Sometimes it takes a weird spin, you know, like, I don't know. There's no explaining it. I don't think if we had Ashley here with us right now, she'd be able to explain what happened even.
Yeah.
It happens sometimes, especially on turf. The ball acts, on grass, it might hit a divot and do something weird. On turf, it's going to act a little weird too. I know we practice on that field, but that doesn't mean everything. That doesn't mean, you know, you're going to see everything a soccer ball is going to do. So
we don't know how wet or dry the turf was, and there's so many different conditions. So it was sucky.
Yeah. Yeah.
And not good.
And I think to that end, I almost think it's good that Dallas got a sucky goal instead of, you know, pounding one in on us.
Okay, yeah, that's fair. That probably would have made it worse.
Yeah, so some like passing masterclass, or a banger from outside the box. Like, yeah. I think that may have taken us out of it a little bit, the team and the fans. But when the goal just sort of like goes in, it's like, all right, well, that's bullshit. That doesn't count.
Yeah, we can do better than that.
Yeah, we'll show you. So we.
And I do think this does actually, where it used to kind of demotivate us, it is now kicking us into gear almost, or kicking us into the next gear.
Yeah, we picked up the pressure a little bit. It was like we were trying to figure out what our niche was in this game and what Dallas's niche was in this game. And when they scored, it was like, okay, well, here's some stuff we know we're good at. Let's start doing that. Because the game does pick up after that, I think.
Mm-hmm.
We start collapsing to the ball. It's a win or go home playoff game. We're playing tight to the ball. We're leaving players open at this point now that we're down a goal in a way I don't think we were earlier in the game. Tamara Bolt, number 16 on Dallas, was finding herself with a lot of space in the middle of the field, on the right side of the field. And some of what that is – you know, let's go to where the danger is. And we know Bolt's a good player, but we didn't consider her a goal scorer. So we left her open. There was one opportunity fairly quickly after Dallas scored where she got the ball with plenty of space in the middle. And we just let her have it until we collapsed, like, right at the D. And she took a poor shot. And it's like, that's what we game plan for. It's pro sports. You figure out who's good at what, and you exploit that.
Yeah.
So we adapted well, I think.
Was that set piece for Dallas that I was talking about?
That was right around that. Yeah, the 21st.
Okay, yeah. They get a set piece. They do absolutely nothing with it, which I was like really confused by, honestly. I think they would have been a little more fired up after scoring a goal, but it almost seems like they put it in neutral a little bit.
Yeah, they seemed kind of relieved as a team.
You know, okay, we got a goal. We're good now.
Yeah, and if you think about it, it makes sense because so much of it is – I mean, sports psychology is so important. So much of it you don't realize is affecting you in your mind when you're playing because you're not supposed to think. It's all instinct. It's all muscle memory. So they played a game here against us pretty recently, and they lost because they couldn't score a goal down a player or up a player. Mm-hmm. And so now they get out there, and they've got that lead in an 11-v-11 situation. And whether they realized or not, I think the Dallas team took the foot off the gas because they felt the relief from the last time they were here in Tampa. And that was to our advantage because it fired our team up. Our forwards, like we were just mentioning earlier in the show, dropping back. Flint coming real far back into the midfield, getting herself some touches. Flew coming back into the midfield from her position. And we score off this later, the way Cecilia dropped back. She put herself in a position to start playing some passes through and over that Dallas back line in a way that she hadn't lately. She's probably the best pure striker in the Super League, but she's such a good player that she's also able to come back and play provider in the midfield, play disruptor, and she got herself into that role. If you look at it from an individual angle, Flew, Nacello, Moore, Flint, Carly, these players really felt themselves and got themselves involved in the game. And that's what it's going to take this Saturday.
Yeah, no. And as we kept going around like the 32nd minute, I was watching and I had the thought of like, okay, we're really confident. We're really well matched. We might be rushing it just a smidgel bit in that final third. And that's why we're not quite making it in yet. And then about 3 minutes later, Nacello gets a PK.
Yeah.
And it was honestly, and I hate to say it was one of the cleaner PKs, but it was one that she didn't have to exaggerate to get.
She straight up got
because
fouled.
It was very clear and obvious.
Yeah. She did not get touched a smidgel. She got touched full on for this one. And if there's a player you want on the field wearing a blue jersey, rushing a little bit, I think it's Sydney Nasella.
Yeah, fair.
So she, it's something you see the Sun do all the time. We start Sydney Nasella on one side of the field. We see what works. We test the defense. We get them used to one look.
Oh, yeah. That was on the left. She was on the whole other side of the field when this happened.
Yeah. She started on the left. And you get the Dallas defense used to Sydney Nasella on the left and, say, Dory Haugen on the right. And those are two very different types of players. And then all of a sudden, 35 minutes into the game, you switch that and you've got Sydney Nasella dribbling at Sierra Hinson. I think that run was the first dribble that with the ball at her feet that that Nasella had against Sierra Hinson on the left side of the Dallas defense. And when you're – Hinson's a great player, especially going forward. But when Sydney Nasella comes at you and dribbles and gets in your box and she beats you and you put a foot out and, oh, God, you fouled her. It's so much easier to do than you would think. So it's something I love that we do, letting Sydney Nasella have that freedom, exploiting comfort and habits that the defense starts to develop over the course of a half hour. It usually pays off, even if it doesn't pay off in the form of a goal. It usually creates some chances when we let Sydney do that.
And create some chances it did.
Yeah. Who scored that goal? PK?
And Tosh Lint comes in and just absolutely buries it in the side of the net. It's beautiful.
USL
Keeper even gets the even guesses correctly and can't get to it fast enough.
Yeah. It's a PK you almost don't want to talk about too much because it's so cool.
Yeah.
There's no thought to it, you know, just bang it.
Yeah.
Easy. It's what you do.
Just your job. Just doing it.
She's a USL first team all forward. She's going to score a PK. And so as much as the complexion of the game's changed when we went down, I think it changed again when we got that goal. And again, even more in our favor. Every tick on the scoreboard just made the game better for us, I feel like.
Yeah. Yeah, around the 39th minute, Listro comes in with a really strong slide tackle. It lets Carly and Dory move forward after some more tough midfield work. I like that we're keep pushing. We know that it's 1-1, and I don't feel like Dallas realizes that it's 1-1 at this point.
Yeah, we've there's so much to be said about the energy at Riverfront Stadium. We straight up literally have the best record in the Super League at home. Nobody plays as well at their home stadium as Tampa Bay Sun Football Club. So when the team starts feeling themselves and the fans, it's an intimate atmosphere right on the river with the school kind of closing in on you, the big brick walls. When that place gets going, you can hear it from the heat wave. You can hear it from the sidelines. Everybody wants, like, Tampa is a good sports city. When things are going well for us, we're making sure everybody knows.
We are a good fair weather fan sports city.
we're quick to turn when things are bad, that's for sure.
Oh, yeah. But,
I think everybody in Tampa has a paper bag with some eye holes in it somewhere in their home. But we didn't need them. So, first half, 1-1. Little, I don't even know if I want to call it a mistake for Dallas's goal, but a fluke for sure. And some textbook Sydney Nasella, some textbook Flint penalty for our goal. So I like the first half, but not as much as I like the second half.
Yeah, absolutely. It was, I can't be that mad at the goal. It wasn't something like so egregious that I can be like, oh, come on.
Yeah.
It was just like, oh, well, that fudge. I'm not going to waste it on that.
Fudge, yep. It definitely felt like that. If it was like a real true mistake.
Yeah.
It would have felt worse. But that's just kind of like,
that was just well, calamity. All right. Yeah.
And I think the team knew going into it that Dallas is a very good team. They're a good attacking team. They got a lot of pieces with Davison, with Allie Thornton, with Kioma.
I know. I predicted the 2-1. Yeah. I did not. If you'd had me predict who was going to score that one, I would have been very, very wrong.
Yeah. And that's pretty interesting, too. We didn't mention that. The goal scorer for Dallas was Hannah Davison, a defender of USL Super League first team fame, who scored Dallas's goal against us back on August 18th, first ever game. So a little kind of poetic, honestly.
And then they lost.
They lost. We beat them. We beat them when it matters.
Yeah.
How do we come out of that second half? Out of that halftime break?
We're doing good.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Not rattled at all? We don't look a little rattled?
I mean, a little bit.
It's not Dallas' fault. I think it's the referees' fault, but I think the referees were doing a fine job. I'm not going to sit here and be a Carolina St. Burner account and say the referees are to blame for anything. But 47th
the
minute.
These are plotting a Florida derby.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. The league really wants an all Florida game. That way, no one outside of Florida wants to watch. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, the league wants Brooklyn in the final, honestly. That way, New York City's paying attention. But hey, should have gotten it done. But yes, Jayden Moore gets a yellow card in the 47th minute. She's incredulous. She always is when she gets called for a foul. Jade, if you're watching right now, that was a yellow card. You done did that. A couple minutes later, in the 52nd minute, Tosh Flint gets a yellow. Not as much as Jade's, but yes, probably worth the yellow. I think Dallas is kind of going down fairly easy here. I think they got a taste of playing a man up and not scoring a goal. And then in this game, scoring a goal even. And we're like, maybe we can
do it again.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
I can see where you're going with that for sure. Orcus does have a good save a couple minutes later. She keeps the ball from going in. There are also like three people like clustering around her to make sure it also doesn't go in. So I actually really like this. It looks a little crazy on the field, but if it gets the job done, it gets the job done.
Yeah, the second half was kind of defined by as much as there was a lot of madness in the midfield in the first half, the second half, the madness was really in the 6-yard boxes for both teams. Especially ours. Thank God nothing went in. If Orcus didn't eat this ball up, three other players were right there to do something about it. Yeah. And that just shows the way we're flying around, putting the bodies in line, something we've done all season. We're a team full of dogs, honestly.
All right. And then Giamona scores in the 59th minute, making this a 2-1. Tom, you want to take us through how this goes?
My God, I love this goal. Carly needed this. She's been I've said it on the pod before. She was a little snake bit for a while there. She likes to score a particular type of goal when she does like to score. And this chip is vintage Carly Giamona. the relief on her face was palpable. You could taste it. You could taste the umami of it. It starts all the way from the back. We get the ball on the left side, dispossess Dallas. Orcus gets it. She plays it up to Viv. Viv gets the ball to Dory at the midfield on the right side. Plays it into side to Sid. Sid with a nice one touch. She follows Nicello, always running. She gets the one touch on the pass and starts running after it. Like, ooh, was that not good enough? I might have to get that. Sid, don't worry. You did a great job. Because it goes back to Flew, who, like we had said earlier, tracking all the way back from her striker position in midfield to make something happen. So Sid with the one touch off the pass from Dory. Flew comes inside to pick it up, plays a little ball back to Tosh Flint, and Flint plays a bomb, an absolute glory of a ball into the box from the left side. It's such a crazy ball that it makes Dallas's keeper come out and think she might have to do something with it because her back line is caught unprepared. And just a little bit off her line, maybe 7-8 yards off of that goal line she is. it's all Carly Jimona needs to play. God, almost a little bit too much on it, but in the end, perfectly weighted for where she was in the field. Lays it right into the goal. It's exactly what we needed right then and there. A real sunny goal. Exactly the kind of stuff we look for. Exactly what Carly needed to do. She was in the right spot. Flint found her. Everybody did what we needed to do. It's such a team goal. So well earned from everybody. And for that to be the GWG, if the game-winning goal to get us into the championship game, it's the encapsulation of so much that we've done as a team. And it's also at the same time kind of shaking the monkey off of us of something we haven't quite been able to put together in a while. We're doing a real Tampa Bay Lightning. When they win the cup, they peak late. And the Sun have putting everything together late. Everything's happening. All the players on the field are the players we need to be on the field. They're all playing their best game. They're all laying their bodies on the line. This was one goal to define them all for the season. It was this one.
And something I just thought of, you can see it in the Dallas keeper's face too. It's like they had already, they gave up after that. Not that we score any more goals. I'm not saying that we start running up the score or anything like that, but the fact it's just the fact that I realized, like, I remember watching Orcas after the goal, and she goes, she makes a face like a goddamn it face, yep, or something like that, and then immediately looks to the team and is like, okay, all right, how are we, like, has the little team huddle or anything like that, whereas, yep, the Dallas keeper just goes like,
Yeah, it's a backbreaker for the rest, yeah, of the game. The next half hour, it's us dictating, it's us containing Dallas, I think was the thing I thought of a lot at the game on the rewatch. Containment. We got them where we want them, and we just gotta reinforce what we're doing with reinforcements ourselves. But, like, yeah, you can see it in the body language of the two teams. When we go down early, 1-0, Orcas doesn't do the, some goalies will do it, they'll be like, oh, that was my fault, I'll fix it. She doesn't do that, because, like, I mean, part of it is, yeah, it was your fault. Everybody knows it. Don't own it. Don't put that on you. Don't put that in your head where it's like, oh, I screwed up. No. She went to her team. She went to her back line and said, look, here's the way we don't let that happen again, right? We don't put me in a position. I don't put you in that position. The midfielders, we all fix this. And they fixed it. But as soon as Dallas goes down 2-1, you kind of felt things come apart for them.
Yeah, see, I saw the Dallas keeper, like, yelling at her team, not working with them. You know, it's different. That kind of mentality, you need to be locked in for, yeah, a knockout game.
Yeah, so, soccer more than a lot of sports, I would say, is the kind of thing that makes soccer really spectacular to me. Is the way it's continuous, and it's so mental. Every sport is such a big mental component, but I think soccer almost more so, because you have to manage an entire team, 11 people, their feelings and their emotions, and make sure everybody's locked in together. And so if Ashley went out there after the first goal and said, wow, I screwed up, that would have affected everybody. They would have been like, oh, now how much trust do you have in your goalie? When Dallas goes down and their keeper is out there yelling and doing this, that, the other thing, that affects everybody. Every single little thing that everybody does, every touch on the ball, every run, every comment in soccer has such a ripple effect that can't be overstated. It's if you're not locked into a game, you're not watching it the right way. If soccer is, yeah, boring to you, you just got to watch it a little bit differently. I mean, we're, yeah, preaching to the choir here on the show, but it is so incredible to see it in action, especially in this game.
That was, yeah, a lovely rant.
Yeah. Hey, that's the beautiful thing about the show. Sometimes you get talking, talk sports with your friends, guys. Because sometimes you just sit down with somebody you like and you're talking sports with them, and it tells you more about the way you think than you realize it will. It's that's soccer, baby. Yeah, so for the next half hour, we contain, right?
Yeah.
We make our subs. We get a, I mean, talk about the momentum and the mental of soccer. 64th minute, you say here, Orcas has a solid save. Mm-hmm. And that's because she's got her swag on now. The mm-hmm. team feels good. We're winning. She comes off the line in a way that she maybe wasn't for the past 60 minutes.
I thought something about Bissett getting hit in the eye. I'm hoping that means she's okay. Yeah. And she's okay. She did play the, I believe she stayed in. So
yeah, she finished it out. She's a Tempe Sun defender. Who are the toughest women in the world, as far as I can tell.
Yes.
we make a couple subs, 67th minute, Jade Moore out, Gabby Provenzano in, kind of a like for like defensive sub, Carly Jimona out, Jordan Zaid in. Zaid, you know, by the book, kind of a defender. Carly, an attacker by the book, but Zaid with that special speed on the right side that it's hard for teams to deal with. Last time we played Fort Lauderdale, our second goal came off of Jordan Zaid using her speed on the right side to play the ball inside to Ava Tankersley. So you may consider Jordan Zaid a defensive sub because she is listed as a defender, as a right back, but she will create opportunities as a super sub against a tired defense.
They might say defensive sub. It's just like Marcella says forward.
Yeah.
All of our players have positions technically that we have to report to the league.
you're not allowed to just say field player, apparently.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then the 81st minute, Hannah Keen comes on. Again, maybe one of the best players in the league, but somebody who has been recovering, so you can't expect her to play 90. And Paige came out. Kind of an interesting sub at this point because Paige is really a defender. Yeah, I see you laughing. I know what you're laughing about. Paige comes out. She is a defender, and Hannah Keen is a attacker. But at that point, why not? It's not even about the tactics this late in the game, in the 81st minute. It's more about just getting your best players out there and having fresh legs.
Sorry, our super producer, Eureka, put fielder in the chat as a position, and I really like that. I'm going to make a bracelet of that. Fielder. Fielder.
Jesus. So yeah, you had any more notes on the Dallas game before we get into a kind of a big game that you got coming up?
Yes, there is one little note. I like that we did seal our win by letting Parker Goins come in with her pink headband, which obviously immediately neutralizes the one on the Dallas player who was wearing a green one.
Yes. That's simple color theory, folks.
Yep. So I'm glad DSB was working with color theory as well as other tactics.
Yeah, we do the mental, we do the physical, and we also dabble in a bit of the arcane.
I like it.
Yeah. So Liz, this Saturday, 7:30, big gym, Riverfront Stadium, Blake High School, Fort Blake, downtown Tampa, right across Hillsborough River. What's going on?
For true football queens of Florida supremacy.
Really. Really? Yeah. The first ever USL Super League Championship game. Tempe Sun FC, Fort Lauderdale United FC.
If you had told me that this is what it was going to be at the beginning of the season, I would have been like, no, that's ridiculous. What? That's
crazy.
That's way too easy. That's too easy. Mm-hmm. Like, that's, you can't write it that well.
Well, we did. And it's, they snuck in as the four seed. They did us the solid, like you said earlier, of beating Carolina. That way we would host. And it's a matchup I feel good about. Dallas was a team that scared me a little bit. You know, they've been solid. They've beaten us. They've played us well. You know who hasn't beaten us is Fort Lauderdale United. We've got one win against them in three draws. And the one win came in April, the last time we played them. So we've got the momentum on us, you know?
Yeah, I feel good about this. I do. I feel like I'll give you my score prediction later, but I feel good about this. Cautiously optimistic.
Yeah.
I'm a very superstitious person. I don't want to jinx anything.
Not even cautiously. I'm superstitious too, but my superstition in this situation is feeling very optimistic. I'm not letting a single bit of doubt creep in because I don't think there is any room for it here. I think we win this game. We win this game. We take the trophy. We send them back down on their little bus or whatever. Hopefully it doesn't light on fire like Flight 19s did that one time. Because I don't wish that on them. It's going to be a tough night anyway.
Yeah. I mean, I think we're going to win. Obviously, I want us to win. I think we're going to win.
Yeah,
we have a history that shows we should win.
Yeah.
But Fort Lauderdale is formidable, and clearly they managed to pull one over on Carolina. I mean, shit.
Yeah.
That was Carolina really wasn't playing at their top form. It definitely kind of seemed like they were playing down a little bit, or playing to their opponent. But, I mean, Fort Lauderdale put two, almost four, I think, in the back of the net.
They had chances. You could say Carolina played down a little bit, and I think they did. Because they let themselves shut off a couple times, especially on the two goals, obviously. But to that end, Fort Lauderdale played up to the level of competition. They exceeded what people thought of them. Kara Locklear mentioned it in the post game. They did that little survey of fans.
Yeah, 5% of fans thought they would make it.
Yeah, well, 5% thought they would win the entire playoffs.
Oh, okay. So that's what, all 20 of their fans?
Exactly. They all voted.
But
they saw that. They saw the chip on their shoulder. They knew they had to be better than they've been all season to get that game done. And, I mean, Carolina was at home in front of a very good crowd, and they just weren't up to it, you know? You can say Carolina didn't play their best game, but you could also say Fort Lauderdale did play their best game. They were ready for the moment, and Carolina wasn't. This wasn't like a couple weeks ago, the Carolina-Dallas game right before the playoffs started, where Carolina had already won the Players' Shield. They were in. They were going to host no matter what, and they lost to Dallas. You know, if you lose that game, it's kind of like, yeah, whatever. We'll go back next week. This was next week. There is no going back if you lose this game. And they let themselves lose. Fort Lauderdale was the better team, not necessarily the whole game. I think it was a pretty evenly matched game overall. But in those moments, Fort Lauderdale made it count. Kiara Locklear especially. Their first goal, Jasmine Hamid from the right side, played a ball in between that. That's my thing about a four-back system versus a three-back system, you know? If you want to talk tactics a little bit, because Carolina was doing four-back. And that means there's an alley in between those two center backs. You get the two wing backs, you get the two center backs. In between each player, by the nature of things, there is an alleyway. There's a little bit of space to be exploited. And so in the middle of the field, when you have four defenders, in the middle of them, there is an alleyway to be exploited. And those two center backs have to be on it. Because the worst place to give up a run is the middle of the field. It's the best shooting spot. So what happened there is those two Carolina center backs didn't communicate well, didn't collapse well, and it left Kiara Locklear alone in the middle to finish, and she's going to finish. She's been a revelation for United. And to that end, the Sun with the three back system, not something we have to worry about. Obviously bigger holes when you have three as opposed to four players, but less holes, less communication that has to happen, less players that have to know each other and get along and know what they're going to do. And our three back, Paige, Henny, Viv, they know each other.
They're rock solid. Yeah.
So we're not going to give up that lane in the middle to Kiara like Carolina did twice. if we give up any alley, it's going to be in a worse angle. And it's going to be a midfielder coming in to help out. It's something that with our formation, with our knowledge of Fort Lauderdale, we're not going to have to worry about the same goals happening that Carolina allowed.
Yeah, and knowing DSB too, she's got so much footage, and they are analyzing everything down to the detail, because they wanted to win this Florida Derby before. They are going to burn down anything to win this now.
Yes. This game means more than anything, you know? Yeah.
Yes, as you put it, for all the marbles.
All of them, and that's a lot of marbles.
Every single one.
God, think of a marble. It's for that one.
Yeah.
Think of two more marbles you've never seen. It's for those. There's a lot of marbles, guys. Yeah, this is like, I don't know, what are some big, this is like the Yankees versus the Red Sox in the World Series.
This is like UF versus FSU.
Yeah. UF FSU. Yeah. This is USF versus UCF. This is Crystal Palace versus Brighton. You know, it's a big game. And for this to not just
be Seattle versus Portland.
Yeah. Toronto versus Montreal.
Yeah.
DC versus Philly. This is not just for, you know, bragging rights for the rivalry. This is for the first ever. You know, it's one thing when it's for bragging rights, when it's the rivalry. It's one thing when it's for a trophy. One thing went for the league trophy, the league title. When it's for the first ever league title, that's bragging rights no one can ever forget about, take away from you. We are forever the first best team in the league if we win this Saturday. And we were the first team with players, the first teams with a logo. We were the first team with a coach. We've done so much to be the pioneer team in this league, to be a trailblazer. This is what it all comes down to. We deserve this. But we got to work for it.
Yeah.
Man.
All right. We're getting a little long here. We still have so much to cover. Yeah. We want to cover go over real quick, recap our meetings with Fort Lauderdale in the past.
Yeah, we can get through it pretty quickly. Like we said, one win, three draws. 1-1 draw down there in Fort Lauderdale in the rain back in November. Jamona with a goal, and then Henderson with a 90-plus stoppage time heartbreaker. Who's Henderson, by the way? I don't remember her. Cool. Let's not let her score this weekend, because otherwise I'll feel really stupid.
Knowing with our luck, her name has changed.
Yeah. Knowing Fort Lauderdale and our luck, yeah.
Yeah.
And then in February, the Hurricane pushback game, February 8th, 2-2 draw here in Tampa. Hamid scored early in the 54th minute. And then right after that, Shania Gordon heard me talking to her and decided to score. And then Carla Jamona again with a goal.
Yeah,
and
don't do that again, please.
Shania. Or do you mean
no,
me?
You.
Hey.
You literally made a goal happen.
I'm going to do what I'm going to do, all right? I wouldn't worry about it too much. I wouldn't worry about it.
I'm going to replace you.
How about the other two games? Replace me with Ella. Shout out Ella Zinkin.
Yeah, I'll replace you with Ella. We'll have a good time.
All right. Tell us about the other goals, the other games.
All right. Wait, did you do the 2-2 draw?
Yeah, I just did.
You screamed at
me for no good reason.
I did.
Crazy.
Because I like to scream. Yeah. So we played them again March 8th with a 1-1 draw. Jasmine Hamid got a goal in the 8th minute. Flu followed it up in the 32nd. I can say numbers in sequential order.
You got there. You're good at talking.
Yep. And it ends as a 1-1 draw. And then we finally get our win on April 5th, we get a goal. Jordy Listro gets our goal in the 31st. And then just to add insult to injury, Ava Takersley gets a goal in the 80th.
Yep. Yeah, so we own the series as it is. But a loss in this game would kind of outweigh the win that we have over them in the regular season. So just it is of the utmost importance we win. Yes. Our form, very good, obviously. We're in the playoffs. We're in the championship game. It should be good. It's win-win draw, win-win. 1-0 over Dallas, 3-0 up in Lexington, 1-1 draw against Carolina, who, very good. Probably the third best in the league, I guess, apparently. 2-0 win versus DC, and then 2-1 just this past week over Dallas. Fort Lauderdale with a win-draw-win-draw-win form. Little shaky, guys. I see that. It was a 1-0 win up in Lexington, 1-1 up in D.C., 1-0 win over Dallas, 1-1 draw at Spokane. They've been on the road a lot. And then a 2-1 win in extra time, of course, at Carolina. What is interesting to note, I think, about Fort Lauderdale's form is that they have not scored more than one goal in a 90-minute match going back to April 26th, the 2-5 loss to Carolina.
Okay.
So they scored two this past weekend, but it took them 120 minutes to do it. Besides that, it's been one goal. They've struggled to find the back of the net. And, I mean, the defense, obviously, has been very good for Fort Lauderdale. Kind of flipped the script from earlier in the season to the very tail end of it, where they've got a good, strong top line of Hamid Locklear, Shania Gordon, Addie McCain in the Golden Boot race for a long time, Rajay Smith. I mean, good goal scorers, but instead it was mostly the defense from United. So it'll be interesting to see what team we're playing against. And if it's the most recent Fort Lauderdale, it's going to be a team that's a little more defensive minded if things don't go their way early.
Okay.
That's what I think. Well, I know.
A lot. Like, quite a bit, actually.
I try. I have an office job. It helps. So, yeah, Fort Lauderdale just played Carolina. The last time they played us, Tampa Bay, they lined up in a 4-2-1-3 with Addie McCain in that one attacking position. This time in Carolina, it was a bit more standard, a 4-3-3. Like I said, Hamid Locklear-Gordon, the Trident up top, Smith, Raji McCain in the midfield, Julia Grosso, Brooks, Ansbrough, McNeil in the defense, and Cosette Morsch, 6'2", all 6'2" of her in the goal. It's a formidable lineup. They deserve to be where they are, but they also deserve to be trampled underfoot by our favorite team, the Tampa Bay Sun.
Yes, that's accurate.
Yes. Carolina did score the first goal in this game. It was an absolute banger by the Dominican Republic national teamer, Catherine Gonzalez. There was a long ball to a streaking left winger, played it in, kind of worked it around to the right side. Fort Lauderdale had their right midfielder and two of their defenders back in that situation because the run of play switched kind of quick on them. So it's something we're looking at, I know, where we're wanting to switch the field quickly, play that stretch pass, play that long ball, not necessarily to the sideline like Carolina did here, probably more so to the middle, and to create something there. But it's all about finding those defense valleys, you know, where it's available, we're going to find. Flew, extremely active. Sydney, extremely active. So wherever the gaps are, I think we're going to identify them early. And that's going to be where we exploit. I think Fort Lauderdale wants those gaps to be on the sidelines because that's the least dangerous spot for them. But with the dribbling
ability. That's honestly where we're strongest.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the dribbling ability of Mosello, the speed of Haugen, our ability to work in the midfield, I think we're going to find the gaps, be able to break them down. So, you know, that classic stretch pass to Carly for the Jamona Chip goal, that's in the cards for us. It's something that keep an eye out. She has scored twice against Fort Lauderdale already in two games, and she just scored again. She's got her touchback. I would not be shocked to find Carly Jimona celebrating a goal this weekend. Besides that, Kara Locklear, the goal scorer, she has been incredible. Addie McCain led their team in goals. She's the Golden Boot favorite for them. She didn't quite get it. But Kara Locklear, as far as minutes played to goals, games played, has been incredible. But like I was saying about the defensive alleys, it's something that I think is going to play a big part in this game. Four back versus the three back. The way we play defense, with the rotations in the midfield, with the communication, I think it's going to be a lot harder to break us down with the long pass or playing right off of the shoulders, right on the offside line. I think we match up well against Fort Lauderdale. We've proven we can beat them in a way that we didn't quite prove against Dallas. So I like us going in. Both teams have a lot of data, but I Tyrone Mears has proven to be very intelligent. But I think Denise is the best coach in the league. I think we finish this up. We lock this down. We do what we got to do. We bring the trophy home.
Yeah, I feel like it's a difference between like Fort Lauderdale just kind of scraping by into the playoffs versus us just like very much solidifying our way in.
Yeah, yeah.
That alone just gives us like a platform that we can feel good on.
Absolutely. We both peaked at the right time, but we caught fire and they just, they were better than the teams they had to play. And we were better than ourselves.
Yes. And as super producer Eureka has put in our chat box, we won't play down to the moment. We don't play down anymore. It's not a thing we do.
Oh no. Especially at home. Best home record in the league. We are going to get your tickets now and be a part of that 12th man in there. That 12th person.
Come watch history be made.
Seriously, because we are going to...
Regardless, history's got to get made.
One way or the other. Hopefully it's good. We think it'll
be good. Hopefully we're happy about it.
Yeah. Liz, you said you got a score prediction already. Well, give it to us.
I don't know. Do I go with my heart or my head?
Your throat. That's where you talk out of when you meet in the middle.
Go away.
Pick one.
Oh, I hate to copy Eureka, but 2-0 win, honestly.
Wow. That's what Eureka said too? Okay.
Yeah. I am always right. I was right about the last one. I literally screamed to Eureka at the end. I was just like,
you've got it locked up. You won the predictions. You have succeeded this year.
Yes, I would like my trophy. Thank you.
Yeah, I they're working on it. I hate to copy Eureka and I hate to copy Liz. 2-0.
It feels like a 2-0, doesn't it?
I think we win. Yeah, I think we win 2-0. I don't know. If Fort Lauderdale scores, they score one goal and they score before we do, just like Dallas did. If it's anything
my gut was 2-1 again.
No, I don't think so.
Yeah, but I think that they're a little bit too scrappy on their attacking right now, and we are so solid on our defense that it's not going to be a problem.
Exactly. I think I'm reverse, where my gut says 2-1, where it's like, oh, because I always have kind of a bad feeling going into games. I'm nervous. I'm full of anxiety constantly. But my head says 2-0. My head is clear and happy right now. I think we get James in here right now and make him say 2-0. Let's get the sweep. 2-0 everybody.
Yeah. I like it.
There we go. So please show up to Big Jim this weekend. Join us to watch us win 2-0. Lift that trophy. This is huge, folks. This is the biggest game in league history by definition. We're doing it.
I'm not freaking out.
No.
I'm super chill. I'm Friday the chillest.
Afternoon. Friday afternoon, I'll be freaking out.
Oh my God. I know I'm freaking out now.
Yeah, a little bit. Just a little bit. since Saturday night, actually, a little bit. But hey.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, Eureka says he'll freak out if you like and subscribe. So make sure we are at RBLR Sports on YouTube, where you can see our beautiful faces. And at RBLR Sun FC everywhere else. So make sure you like, subscribe, hit the buttons. Let us know that you're going to be there. Let us know that you've already bought your ticket in the comments.
You need to. They're going fast.
Yeah, I'm not joking.
It's a cliche.
I wish I was saying this to like hype, but like I legitimately like I went to go buy a supporters ticket and then they didn't have any, and then they just released another block of them. Yes.
Yeah, this is not us hyping the game up. You have to buy a ticket.
Yeah.
Or you can watch from the bridge or the parking
garage. Oh, yeah. Technically, you could watch from the bridge.
We didn't say that, though.
Yeah. Or you pay $34, you just buy a parking pass.
Yeah, right. Can I just park and chill? Is that cool? Yeah. No, get in the stadium. It's so much better. It's a nice stadium. All right. Yeah.
Yes. Come stand with us in the heat wave.
Please. Best sports group in the league, baby.
Yes.
All right. Let's go to the Sun, huh?
Yeah. Let's go to the Sun. We'll see you at Big Jim.
Meet me at Big Jim, baby. Let's go to the Sun.
Thank you for tuning into this presentation by RBLR Sports. On your way out of the stadium, please remember to like and subscribe.